It's been a while. Lots of smiling faces out there that we know, and some of you we haven't met yet, but hopefully we'll get to know you a little bit better as time goes by. Is that Timothy back there? How you doing? I gotta acknowledge my fellow team roughers. That's just... I'm an old cowboy and kind of a Boy Scout cross. So when I prepare to do something, I mean, I bring everything but the kitchen sink. Well, I even bring the kitchen sink. I was hauling a kitchen sink around in the back of my pickup the other day to take to my daughter. And when I prepare for a message, I usually process probably about four times what I need to. So I need your prayers that I can keep my message short enough to be done in good time. So without further ado, how many of you here realize that our culture is a result of our thinking? You know the old saying, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I happen to believe it's a chicken, but, you know, thinking creates culture. We're living in a culture that is trying to make us think like it. You remember the story of Daniel and the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They got shipped to Babylon. They became captives of Babylon. They went to Babylon, but they never forgot their Hebrew roots. They never forgot their God. And before their lives were over, they had a tremendous impact on their culture. Why? Because they walked in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I'd like to offer a few thoughts this morning about the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. You know, I'd like to turn to John, the 4th chapter, 24th verse, and look at a few words there, but while we're going there, there was a man born a number of years ago by the name of A.W. Tozer. Anybody ever heard of that name? He was a pretty prolific Christian author, and he wrote books like The Pursuit of God, and others. One of the things that he said in some of his writings that really stood out to me was this: modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it. I don't know how that sets with you, but it will never work. The church's power over the world springs out of her unlikeness to it, never from her integration into it. Is that clear? I think it is. And I'm happy to be in a congregation this morning that realizes that. The church at large in our world has been infiltrated with flesh as much or more than it ever has. Now, I realize back in the time of Jesus, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, they walked around with their religious clothes, but they were walking in the flesh, weren't they? How do we know that? Because they crucified the King of Glory, and they said, "We have no king but Caesar." When you say you have no king but Caesar, that shows that you're walking in the flesh, in my book. John 4, 24. You know the context here. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, Samaritan woman. Verse 23, well, let's start with 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Here, when it says Jews, in Hebrew it's Yahudim, and that means praisers of Yah, Yahweh. It's not just a genetic thing, it's a spiritual thing. But the hour is coming, and boom, now is. It's coming, boom, it now is. It's kind of like lightning. You can't hardly get it out of your mouth before it is. That's the way Jesus comes, my friends. When you realize Him being your Lord and Maker, it comes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, doesn't it? The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, now we're starting to get specific here. We got worshipers and then we have true worshipers, right? True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now, let's get this straight. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. I don't think I'm going to elaborate on that. I think God said it pretty well. You know, He usually does a pretty good job of saying what He wants to say. Have you noticed that? Let's go for a moment to Philippians, the third chapter. The Philippians, as I sometimes call them. Okay, see if this sounds anything like John 4 that we just read. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." This is verse 1 of chapter 3 of Philippians. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." That's what my version says. I think some versions say it is beneficial. Verse 2, "Beware of dogs." Well, yeah, we know to do that, don't we? Some of them anyway. If they're growling and they're, you know, looking aggressive, that's not what it's talking about here, is it? "Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation." Or some versions say the concision. Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have," what? "No confidence in the flesh." Verse 4, Paul's saying, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh," if anybody can have confidence in the flesh, I can have confidence in the flesh, Paul's saying here. I have more confidence than any of you. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, man, he persecuted the church, didn't he? He had zeal. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. A little boastful there, I'd say, but maybe he was. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Some versions say dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness by the flesh, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. He's talking a lot about living in the Spirit and not making any boast in his flesh, isn't he? Ephesians 6:12, many of you probably already know that. It talks about how we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Maybe we should read it. This is in the context of the whole armor of God. I'll start with verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We sang standing on the promises. Does that mean that we're going to stand on the promises? Hallelujah. I felt some enthusiasm in here when you guys were singing that. It's great. For we do not wrestle, verse 12 here is where we were going, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Can you beat the devil by trying to fight with him physically? Can you out-argue him? Can you chop off his head? Can you kill him physically? We can't, can we? Can we put the devil down and put our foot on his neck and put him to complete shame by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of the living God? Amen. Can we? Yes. Praise his name. I'm not talking about boasting in the flesh, not at all. But we're not spiritual wimps either. He's called us to action. Not of the flesh. No flesh shall boast in his sight. Do we wrestle with spirits in people's flesh? Sometimes we do, don't we? We're not really wrestling with them. We're not wrestling with their body. We don't want to hurt them physically. We don't have any desire to hurt anyone physically. But sometimes the enemy comes against us through other people, doesn't he? people who are walking in the flesh many times, thinking they're walking in the Spirit. My Bible talks to me in Luke and in Matthew about remember what Jesus says, in the last day, these people come to him. They say, well, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your name. We cast out demons and we did all these great things. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a pretty heavy indictment, isn't it? How can that be? How can they do these mighty things and never know him? These supposedly mighty things. Because they're walking in the flesh and they don't know the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. My Bible says that unless the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. Consider that in every decision you make in your life, my brothers and sisters. Has anyone here had a conscious battle with your flesh in the past week? Yeah. Sometimes we don't recognize what's going on, do we? Sometimes we don't recognize it's the flesh talking. Sometimes when Randy Warner gets tired, a little physically tired, maybe spiritually, mentally tired, whatever, he's got all kinds of excuses for not doing the right thing or getting up and doing something when God is prompting him. But I am learning slowly, slowly by the power of the Holy Spirit prodding me to not give up the fight. There's not going to be a day from this moment forward until we go 6 foot under and then go to meet the Lord where we will not be in conflict with the adversary. Brothers and sisters, just so you know, the adversary, we call him Satan, the devil. Okay, many times all of our attention is on, okay, where's the boogeyman? Where's Satan? And we don't see the corruption and the seduction and the intimidation of the world creeping in on us. We don't identify Satan in that. We don't identify Satan in our flesh arguing with God many times. The flesh, the world, or the devil, any one of those three or in combination will take you down and take you out without the Holy Spirit in your life. And discerning what spirit you're dealing with. My Bible talks about how it's in 2 Corinthians, I believe, where 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, it talks about Satan's ministers transforming themselves into angels of light. Ever seen that? If you have, it's because the Holy Spirit has shown you. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. There's a lot of deception, a lot of seduction, there's a lot of intimidation going on in the name of religion nowadays. We need to know the difference between the one true God and the one true gospel and the spirit of the living God and the spirit of Antichrist. I was asking a dear friend the other day, we were talking about a number of things. We got on the subject of the Antichrist. And I says, hey, buddy, so what do you think about the Antichrist? Who do you think the Antichrist is? He says, well, man, there's a lot of rotten characters out there. You know, I mean, there's world currency manipulators. There's people like Hitler. There's people like Saddam Hussein. There's all these icons of horror around the planet. And I said, well, that's one way to look at it, and that's an area to be conscious of, no doubt. I said, for me, it's a little closer to home. I have discovered that I will never meet an adversary that is more comfortable with Satan, more in league with Satan, more willing to do Satan's bidding than my own flesh. We need to know our enemy. I'm not talking about your body. This is a wonderful thing that God has created. But there is a war going on. The spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. They will never become friends. They are mortal enemies. They will never be comfortable with one another. They're never going to love one another. Watery baptism was designed to kill the flesh, the old man, the old nature. That's what I'm talking about when I say flesh. I'm not talking about your physical body, okay? We got that straight? But we all battle the flesh. It's like the world or the devil. It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? But no less real, though it be invisible. How do we wrestle as Christians? One of the things that I wrestle with is thoughts, flashing thoughts that come to my mind. I have to take the sword of the Spirit and say, okay, thought, since I have discerned that you're not of God, get out of here or off comes your head with a spiritual sword. My dad used to say, Randy, thoughts are kind of like birds. They might fly over, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Well, I used to have hair. Another area is prayer. You ever have your prayers interrupted? Have you ever struggled to pray? Where you just feel all hell coming against you while you're trying to pray. And all hell could be just the neighbor comes and wants to borrow something, but he has no interest in religion or your story or your life or anything else. He just wants to borrow something. You know it's an interruption from the adversary. You get that witness inside of you. It's not that he's a bad person or anything. It's just, it's an interruption. When we try to focus on a need for ourselves or others many times, these thoughts come flooding in. And interruptions, either outward physical noise, lights flashing, sirens going off, whatever, or somebody tapping you on the shoulder, I need this. Another area is social media. Everybody's into social media nowadays. And it's a wonderful tool used in the right way. But it can consume your entire workaday world and your evenings and mornings if you let it. Social media exposes us to ideas not necessarily of God on a continual basis. You got to be armored up and discerning in this world, don't we? Romans 12:2 says, be ye, in the King James, transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? You have to see that you need a new mind, I think, would be one starting point. And that new mind would come from a relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And He will take care of the rest. He will prompt you. I have a saying. He's the daddy rabbit. He knows the plan. He will guide us if we ask Him. Okay, we've talked a lot about spirit and the flesh. We looked at just a few of the many scriptures that have much to say about this topic. Can we see that the spirit and the flesh are at war? Can we see that they will never be friends? Can we see that they have always been mutually antagonistic? Can we see that their combat is to the death? Can we see that the world, the flesh, and the devil are loyal allies? Can we see that any one of these three unclean beasts will destroy us if we subscribe to their flatteries, deceptions, and intimidations? I boldly declare to you today that if you are able, through the Spirit of the living God, to crucify the flesh in you, then the devil nor the world can ever reach you. Guys, I'm not talking today about fearing the flesh. Not talking fear in any way, shape, or form. My God has said, I did not bring you the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. How many here like to have a sound mind? It's a good thing, isn't it? I'm talking about having a sound mind where we can recognize the enemies of the Spirit, written much about in the Holy Scriptures. Yes, I understand grace. Grace takes up the slack for where we are ignorant if we are in Christ. I understand that. There's a lot more that I could expound on the word of grace. It's by His grace that we don't stay ignorant of Satan's devices our entire life. So by His grace, we will tread on spiritual serpents, evil powers, ignorance, lying, darkness. It is by His grace that we will get up and go and do some good in the world for those lost, hungry, and perishing souls, some of which are in our churches. We have work to do by His grace. God has many, many cows. God milks a lot of cows. But He uses the milkmaids to do it. Do you understand? We are His hands and feet. Not by power or by strength, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. Anything that you're trying to accomplish, accomplish it by His Spirit. I'd like to go to Isaiah 40:31 for my closing text. That's over in the Old Testament. I'm going to start with verse 28 of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He understands the unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Are we talking physical here, guys? The Spirit of the living God, yes, can make you feel physically alive. You want to jump, you want to dance, you want to holler, you want to go roping. You want to go swimming, you want to go in the mountains and hike with your family. You want to go and visit people. It's the Spirit of the living God will motivate you if you'll let Him to do great things. And if you're totally incapacitated, you can get on your phone right there in your bed or in your wheelchair and say, brother or sister, I'm praying for you. Keep up the work. There's always something you can do. So, two quick examples that I will use in reference to this scripture. Johnny Erickson Tada. Everybody heard of her? Pretty much? Okay. She became a cripple. I think she's a quadriplegic, isn't she? Okay. Her world came crashing down one fateful day when she dove off into the water, broke her neck. She had days of depression. She had days of doubting God, fearing God, hating God, suicidal days. But she kept waiting on the Lord. And her strength was renewed in time. And she has mounted up on wings like eagle. She can run in the Spirit right now and not be weary. She can walk and not faint. A young man by the name of Jeremy came to Cove Camp a number of years back. You remember him, don't you, Kent? Cerebral palsy. Tough row to hoe. Difficult things every waking day, every morning, during the day and into the night. A body that would not cooperate with his mind. A tough place for his spirit, his flesh. I don't know all of Jeremy's story, but I do know that Cove Camp had a positive impact on him. And it wasn't just Cove Camp, it was the Spirit of the living God. Jeremy had a great difficulty in speaking to where you could understand him. I mean, if you paid attention and you got to know him and you got used to how he expressed himself, you could follow along just fine. But it was tough for him. one of the last few camps that he came and attended, he actually came back, I think, once as a counselor, if I remember right, later years. Yeah. Okay. He wrote a song for skit night, where on Friday nights, quite often, the kids will do like what they call talent night. And each person will get a chance to voice something that they want to express or something they want to share. Sometimes they do skits, sometimes they do songs, sometimes kids will play guitar, sometimes they'll do jokes, whatever. Christian jokes, by the way. Jeremy had been kind of quiet and kind of off by himself some, and he came up with this song that he wrote. And I'd love to sing it for you, but the melody is a little tough for me. But I would like to read it in my closing here. Don't look at the shell of my earthly body. Close your eyes and you will see that I'm not ashamed of who I am, for God has also created me. My path may be harder to walk down. My words may be harder to understand. But when God made me, He took some time. So won't you take the time to listen and let Him set you free? Let Him set you free. Cerebral palsy is hard to explain. My body don't work right, but listen to my brain. If you met a man named Jesus and he walked and talked like me, would you stop and listen to his words and let him set you free? Set you free. When God created my plan, he wanted people to hopefully see that a body isn't what makes the man. No, a body isn't what makes the man. Walk in the Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into your lives, brothers and sisters, like you've never done before. These are dark days in this world, for the world especially. But we're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be salt and light. We got something good to share. We got something positive to give. We got lots of wonderful things to do. And there will be no excuses when we see Jesus face to face. I love you. Thank you for having us here. It's an honor and privilege to get to come and speak at Delbert's pulpit. And you probably got the short end of the stick today with him trading with me, but such as it is, thank you very much.